I believe it's a great honor to be a father. I take it seriously. But if we're going to be a father, be the best you can be. Amen. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to be a godly, honorable father. That's what I want to speak about today, a godly, honorable father. If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, we're going to read verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We will serve the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we thank you, Lord God, that you're our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we ask right now that you'll speak to every heart here today. Hallelujah. I pray, God, that every father will leave here changed to be a better father. Let your will be done, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. If there is not a father in your home, ladies, be what you need to be to your family. Amen. God can use you and bless you as well. But I believe a father should demonstrate qualities that deserve honor. You can't expect honor if you're not honorable. Amen? You have to earn honor. When Joshua spoke these words, he was challenging the tribes of Israel to make up their mind when it comes to serving the Lord. He told them to fear God. He told them to serve God with all faithfulness. You see, it also shows what kind of a person Joshua was as a family man, as a father, to be specific. He possessed those qualities that deserve to be honored, like today's honoring of fathers at Father's Day. The statement, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." What that implies, it implies the qualities of an honorable father. It implies a strong conviction. You see, the statement begins with the term "but," indicating a contrast. The tribes of Israel need to be reminded of their duties to God because they have been double-minded people. They worship God at one time and then worship idols at another time. So Joshua challenges them to make up their mind and to decide whom they are going to serve, whom they are going to worship, the God of their forefathers or the God of the Amorites. And they were unable to be decisive because they don't have clear conviction about God. Joshua distinguished himself from the Israelites because he knows where he stands and is ready to make a decision. He's not afraid to go against the will of the majority since he has a clear belief on the issues of the day. You see, this is a critical factor not only in leading a nation, but in leading his family. Amen. So today we honor fathers who know where they stand and are ready to make a decision when it comes to their family. You see, I believe that goes a long ways, folks, when people know where you stand. Come on. It goes a long ways. It's very hard to respect somebody who is double-minded and don't know where they stand. So we honor fathers who are not afraid to go against the majority and say, "I don't care what everybody else is doing, we're going to live for God." Come on. My dad used to tell me, in my house, this is what it is. These are the rules. Don't care what everybody else is doing. You live in my house, you follow my rules. That's the way it worked. There's the door. Amen? We honor fathers who have a clear belief on family issues. Amen? Why is a clear conviction an essential quality of a father? You see, as the head of the family, our family looks up to us for wisdom and guidance. Now, in today's society, they try to make men look like buffoons, and Hollywood makes it very clear that they don't respect fathers in the home. Amen? You see it all over the place. You see it in the cartoons. You see it in the shows. You see it in the movies. It's disgusting to me. And there's a lot of different groups that can't stand fathers. But God knew what he was doing when he made fathers. Amen. And folks, we need to understand what the Word of God says about a father and how a father should be. Why, folks? Because God knows how important it is. Amen. As a head of a family, our family looks up to us for wisdom and for guidance. Our family would like to know what we believe about God. Fathers, your family needs to know what you believe about God. Our family would like to know what we believe about family. How should the family be? Who leads the family? Amen. It's easy sometimes to sit back and let mama run it all. Do your part. Your family would like to know what you think about parenting. Are you a parent or just a provider? Come on. Your family would like to know what you think about personal discipline. Do it yourself. Don't leave it all up to mom. Your family would like to know what you believe about responsibility, about service, about citizenship, about spirituality. Where do you stand? Well, I take them to church. Big deal. Where do you stand? As for me and my house, this is what we do. Come on. You see, all that, when they know, and you're not no big shot, say, I'm the leader of this house. You don't need to do that kind of stuff if you lead right. They'll know you're leading. If you do it, amen, in an honorable way, and you'll receive the honor and the respect. A man by the name of Austin Sorensen said this, and this is so true. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. I'll say that again. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Folks, a father without clear conviction in life will be like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Stand up and lead. Amen? It's not always popular. It's not the popular thing to do all the time. They're going to be mad, but you know what? I always say this. They'll get over it. Sometimes, you know, parents are afraid to make decisions and afraid to discipline because the child will get angry at them. So what? God didn't say, you know, to discipline them if they like it, if they're okay with it. He told us to do it. Amen? So there's times that, you know, my boys would get upset and cry, and they'd try to cry forever, and I'd say, that's enough. That's enough. But you know what? It wouldn't be long to be coming down and jumping on my lap and hugging me. Often. Not every time, but often, very often. Because they know these are the rules, and if you break them, there's discipline. So if you get disciplined, whose fault is it? Is it mine or is it yours? See, they knew the rules. They knew, you know, where the line was. And they knew they may not have liked it and agreed with me at the time when I'm speaking to them and say, you didn't obey me. Later on, they knew Dad was right. You know, I never did this 1, 2, 3 stuff. Never. I figure if they could do it after 3, they could do it after 1. Right? You got to draw the line in your home. You have to lead. And they need to know that these rules, when you say don't do something, that you mean it. If they know, if they think for 1 minute you don't mean it, they're going to push you to the limit. Come on. I mean, here, even if you're not a father today and you're leading in your home, you need to know that if I have to make these rules count, or they're going to push me around. You see, a father without clear convictions would be like that wave, just blown all over the place. And then you won't get no respect. You will not get any respect if you will not hold to what you believe and what you say. A father is unstable and lacks consistency in what he plans and what he does. As a result, our family is confused and they're frustrated because they don't know where they stand and to whom they need to follow. The reason it's so important for you to stand for what you believe, because they need to know that you mean business, even in the rough times. I tell folks, you know, listen, you ever see somebody yelling at their kids and telling them to stop, and they go on and do it, and they're like, you ever seen that? Well, what if they're running toward a car, and you say stop? You've done it before. They've got away with it. You see, they need to know, when I say something, I mean it. So fathers, understand and define your convictions in the issues of life. Communicate your convictions. Communicate them to your family. Communicate them to your wife and your children. Communicate them. And you need to let them know that you stand for what you believe. Come on. You see, your family will continue to be proud of you for having a father with convictions. Family values and family traditions come from the clear convictions of parents, particularly the father. See, I believe if you don't stand for these things, you're going to be so frustrated in life. It's going to be, and people, they're going to be uncomfortable around you. So those family values and those family traditions come from clear convictions. Don't waver. Study in and know what you want to believe and stand for it. So, you say, well, how do I develop convictions? Well, educate yourself. Listen to advice and evaluate them. When people talk to you, evaluate it and say, okay, I'm going to look into this. And look at both sides and come off where you believe and stand there. Okay, this is what I like and this is what I'm going to believe and I'm going to stand on this. You need to learn from others. Or learn from your mistakes. I make mistakes. Yeah. Apologize for them too. If you make a mistake, apologize. Don't be too big and tough to not apologize. Because if you don't apologize, you're really stupid. You're sitting there telling people you're never wrong. You're a liar. Come on. We all make mistakes. Is there anybody here never made a mistake? I got you. Love you guys. We all make mistakes, right? Come on. We do. But you know what? You'll get respect if you learn to apologize. Amen? Let me tell you, folks. And you say, well, why are you hammering on respect? Because there's not much of it in this world today. And that's why we're so crazy. The world is so crazy because people they just do whatever they want. And they do a lot of things out of emotion. You can't react from emotion. You really look like a fool. And that's why you need to have convictions in your life and stand for them. And when things go wrong, you need to sit and say, evaluate. Why did that happen? How should I react to that? But people aren't doing it today. They're reacting out of emotion. And if you live in your home through emotion, you're going to be a mess. Come on. You can read through the Proverbs and you can read where it says if parents don't discipline the kids, they're going to shame them. They're not going to respect them. So one way to get these convictions is educate yourself, listen to advice, evaluate that advice, learn from others and learn from your own mistakes. Examine and embrace the teachings of the Word of God. God tells us how to lead our homes, folks. Amen? And that's why I teach these things in here. You will be a better parent if you follow the leading of the Word of God. Trust God and His words. He's our Heavenly Father. Amen? And then, folks, when you want to be a better father, and you're honorable, it implies a positive influence in your life. I don't know how big the family of Joshua was, but it's encouraging to hear him commit his household to serving the Lord. He didn't just commit himself. He committed his household. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? Well, the Bible says that when two are married, they become one flesh, right? So if God calls me, God calls my wife. And if God calls us, He calls our children. So therefore, you can commit your family to living for God. And you know what? Fathers, listen to me. Now, you do it in the right way, but there's sometimes you need to tell your spouse that's enough. In this house, we're not doing that. Have I ever had to do it, sweetheart? It's leading. No, we're doing this. You see, here's the thing. If you lead right continually, when you have to do that, it'll be respected. But if you don't lead right continually, and you just allow things to go, and you know you should be doing this or doing that, and you don't do it, because you don't want the argument, you don't want somebody getting mad at you, then when you do want to stand up for what's right, and you do have to call, that's enough. They are not going to respect you. They're not going to accept your leading. That's why it's not an easy job, okay, to lead, but you have to be consistent. Okay? And you've heard me, if you ever go through any of the teaching tapes, brother Rob, he's got them here somewhere, archived. But you hear me say, consistency is the most important thing. Know what you're going to do and be consistent. This doing it, well, you know, off and on and off again stuff, you don't get respect. Come on. You don't get respect. So I don't know how big Joshua's family, but I appreciate the fact that he said, hey, as for me and my house, this is what we're doing. So that's encouraging. Joshua, see folks, he could do this because he had confidence that his household would follow his desire to serve the Lord. He knew. I'm the leader. They know it. Okay, so here's what our house is going to do. And he could say that because he knew that they would follow his leading. Because he apparently wasn't wishy-washy. You know, it's hard to follow somebody when, oh, where are they going to be today? Oh, I better get over here. They're over here today. Oh, next week? Oh, they'll probably be over here. But no, when you're on that straight path, okay, it's easy to follow. Right? You're not squirreling all over the place. Stay consistent. Your family, it's easier to follow when they know where you're going to be. So how can we make that kind of commitment? The phrase, but as for me and my house. implies a positive influence by Joshua over his household. And here is a father, folks, who can influence his household to significant and legitimate decisions in life. Today we honor fathers who have a positive influence in the life of their families, especially in terms of our faith in God, concerns for family and society, and living a moral and ethical lifestyle. It's important. Amen? Live it. If you want them to live it, they must see you live it. You see, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, and who experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. The influence of Joshua to his family and the nation, folks, let me tell you what it did. Now hear me again. I said the influence of Joshua to his family, the influence of Joshua to the nation, it outlived Joshua. Come on. How he led his life, how he stood for things, it outlived him. You know, those are the things when you go to a funeral of somebody who lived a good life, people talk about that and they say, they made a difference in my life. Even after they're gone, people are saying things about them. Years ago, I went to a funeral of a good friend of mine who was a man who loved his God. He loved his family. And man, the place was absolutely packed out. And anybody you talked to talked about this man's effect on their lives. And I always was somebody that wanted to be a blessing and a help to somebody and live a good life. But that even made me more determined than ever to be a blessing to people and to stand for something. Come on. Is it always popular? No. You know, but I don't live the life I live because to make everybody happy, although I want to be a blessing and to make people happy. I live it for Jesus Christ. Amen. And I live it for my family and I live it for this church. Because I believe, and you can say, well, why do you do that, Pastor? Because I believe this will bless everybody. And if I can lead anybody in this direction, they're better off. Amen? They're much better off. So what Joshua did to his family and to the nation outlived him. And how can we have such a kind of influence to his family and to the nation? Or how can we have this kind of influence, positive influence happens when conviction is followed by demonstration. Our beliefs were supported by our behavior. Our children believe our convictions when they see our example. Okay, it goes far beyond just telling them. They must see your example. And they must see that it makes a difference. You know, they go to their friends. They see what happens in their friend's home. And they see the dysfunctional home lives and things of that nature. That's the last place they need to find it when they come home. They need to be able to come home and say, oh, I love being home. You say, well, my kids will never say that. Give them a reason to say it. Come on. Do you give them a reason to say that? See, a lot of people just think, well, that's Pastor, you're blessed. You had good kids. No, they wouldn't have been good kids unless I put it in them. And I put it in them when they needed it. Amen? Our children believe our convictions when they see our example. The father's example is very influential. Fathers, hear me today. Don't let it all on mom. They need to see your example. And it is very influential. More than you even know. Let me tell you how, you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, listen to this. If both father and mother go to church, 72% of the children will also go to church when they grow up. If only the father goes to church, the percentage drops to 55%. But listen to this. If only mom goes to church with the kids, 15% of those children will go to church when they grow up. Think about that. Okay? I'll say it again. Both father and mother go to church. 72% of the children will go to church when they grow up. If dad takes them to church, 55% of the kids will go to church. Around almost 20%? A drop? But if mom takes them to church, well, mom only, dad doesn't go, only 15% of the kids will go to church. Now tell me how much of an influence dad has. Now the world don't want you to think that. You got all this women's lib junk and all that kind of stuff. You can have that stuff, folks. If you like it, that's your prerogative. You're wrong. Let me tell you, when it's done God's way, it's done right. You know, but the enemy wants to destroy everything God has. Okay? And look at the results. But I'm telling you how important a godly man's influence in the home is. And I'm not saying that a lot of men aren't at fault for it, because a lot of them are crazy. They don't want to do anything at home. I worked all day. I brought the money home. You do this. But that's garbage. Be a man in the home. John 5:19-20 says, Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also does. The teachings by parents of don't do as I do as I say, folks, that doesn't work. If our life doesn't back up our teaching, our words are meaningless. Amen? You see, it is the inconsistent lives of parents that results in rebellious children. It's getting quiet. Let me say that again. It's the inconsistent lives of parents that result in rebellious children. Come on. Let's be honest. Positive influence happens when conviction includes love and compassion. We set aside legalism and impatience. You see, folks, we must recognize that our loved ones are humans and they are imperfect also. Okay? We should be willing to give allowances for shortcomings and weakness, but be patient, folks, until they learn our convictions and our examples. When they watch, they're gonna see, they're not, oh, that's great, I think I'll follow it. No, they're gonna see if you're gonna be consistent and if it's gonna work. Or are you going to be consistent today and change a week from now? They're going to see where they stick to that. It's been years now. They're still sticking to that line. So you have to be patient. They're trying to see, does this really work? Because then, maybe before you'd say one thing and then, you let down on those things and then you go back to them. Then you let down again and you go back to them. I've seen that before, many times. I've seen pastors do it in the church, and the church is like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. The church needs to see consistency across the board. So do your children. You see, a positive influence happens when we personally attend to the needs of our family, and influence requires personal touch and time with our loved ones. Meet all your family needs, marital, spiritual, emotional, and social. You see, in fact, 39.6% of children in America are going to bed every night without a biological father in the home. That's probably climbing like crazy. You see, being a good father an honorable man implies strong leadership. Joshua's convictions in life and influence on his family are the result of strong leadership. You see, Joshua knew that he must assume leadership over his home, and he would not be able to lead the Israelites if he was unable to lead his own family. Now, you'll notice that in the biblical tradition, the man was given the responsibility to lead and care for his family. And today, folks, we honor those fathers who were able to provide leadership over their families. And why is leadership so important at home? Because God placed the fathers in our home to provide direction, vision for the family. Leadership means that we initiate, we plan, we encourage, and we motivate our family members to make a difference in their lives and out of their lives. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now, the wives here says submit and children obey when the husband provides leadership. Don't expect your children and your wives to do what they're supposed to do if you won't do what you're supposed to do. Come on. Leadership also sets order. It sets cooperation within the family. Leadership defines the roles and the responsibility of each member. Leadership also assumes security and provision for the family. And without leadership, anarchy prevails. Folks, fathering a child is, for many, not very difficult. Okay, hear what I said. Fathering a child is not difficult. But being a father is. Amen? It is the first and most important decision a father to make a conscious choice to be a father. Anybody can make them. How about raising them? Come on. The decision to be a father is not just a delivery room decision. It's a daily decision. You see, a century ago, dads were on-site parents working the farm or running the family store. They were home. They were right there, and the kids were helping, and the children spent a great deal of their time alongside of their parent working together. But in our modern culture, employment distances most dads from their kids. Some dads leave home before the children are awake. Others arrive home long after the kids are at home from school. And consequently, it is impossible, even common, for a father to forget about fathering. It is possible, it is common, for a father to forget about parenting. They emotionally disconnect from their children. And throughout the day, every day, dads need to renew their dad decision. Will I attend this conversation? Is this meeting with my family essential? Can I rearrange these appointments to get home earlier? And on the way home from work, dads, you have to decide to take off the work hat and put the dad hat on. I remember making that decision because I would go home sometimes and be just exhausted and you just want to fall in your chair. But I said, I gotta talk. You know, you've talked to many people all day long. And the last thing sometimes you want to hear is mom's go, and the kids, daddy, 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 daddy. You're like, but I started praying, God, help me. I'm going home. Help me to just love them, to just spend time with them, to just talk to them. Give me the strength. You see, you take the work hat off, put the dad hat on. Being a good dad means making tough, sacrificial decisions. Decisions that tell our children what is important to us. A man by the name of Paul Faulkner, in his book, Achieving Success Without Failing Your Family, he describes the decision of an insurance executive speaking at a businessman's convention. The man stressed the importance of being a father first. Understand, folks, he's at a insurance businessman's convention. And in his speech, he talks how important it is to be a father first. You see, the man's daughter was there in the audience. And in the middle of his talk, he turned to her and asked, "Sweetheart, do you remember the time I won the $1 million round table 3 years in a row?" And she said, "No, Dad, I guess I do not." And then he asked, "Well, do you remember, hon, when I used to have those Dairy Queen dates with you?" And she said, "Oh, yes, Dad, I remember those." And he turned to the audience to make the point that daughters don't remember when you sell $1 million worth of insurance, but they do remember your special dates. You see, folks, not only must dads decide to be involved in the kid's life, not only does he decide to be involved with their kids and be available and be interested in what interests them, but dads must decide what kind of role models that you're going to be. What kind of role model are you going to be for your children? What an incredible privilege. The task of molding and shaping little children. Come on. You see, kids have this unique set of antennas. You ever see them? Not only are they able to see much and hear more, they reply the behavior they see in their parents. When a father in the Bible stands out, a particular man in the Bible stands out, he's a very godly father. And he consciously one day decided to be an adoptive father. Did you know we had adopted fathers in the Bible? He adopted his orphan cousin, Esther. Everybody read the story of Esther? You see, he could be called the father of courage because he instilled this trait in that daughter. In the book of Esther, the story of a beautiful Jewish girl whose clever courage saved her people, folks. Mordecai raised his daughter to take a stand at the right time and to do the right thing. Because of her beauty, Esther becomes queen of Persia. And Mordecai wisely advises her to conceal her heritage from the king. Think about this. He gives her this advice. Don't tell him you're Jewish. And he places himself in jeopardy because of his convictions. You see, he would bow before no one other than Jehovah. And as a result, Haman despises Mordecai. He conspires to destroy not only Mordecai, but all of the Jews as well. And Mordecai urges Esther. You see, first he said, don't tell him that you're Jewish. But now this comes up. So he urges Esther to appeal to the king on behalf of their people. In Esther chapter 4, verse 14, who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? You see, folks, Esther must have trusted Mordecai greatly, for she determines to stand before the king for her people. First, she obeyed him when he said, don't tell him that you're Jewish. Okay. She trusted him. But now all this is happening, and Haman wants to kill not only her father, Mordecai, but he wants to kill her and all the Jews. Now Mordecai is coming back. He says, look, you need to go tell it to the king, because God saved you, made you queen for just this time. So she trusted Mordecai greatly. She determines to stand before the king, which is a very dangerous thing, without being called. Esther 4, verse 16, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. Now, if you don't understand that, if you walk before the king without him inviting you, if he did not put out his scepter towards you and accept you, you'd be killed. So here she is, going to talk to the king. She wasn't invited. So she says, if I die, I must die. You see what she did, folks? Now that's great. That's on her part. That's awesome. That's courage. But where did she get that courage? She was taught by a great father. Words of faith. Words of courage. Words that a daughter could say because she was raised by a father who made the right decisions. Now remember this, folks. A crisis did not develop character. A crisis reveals character. Right? The character Esther reveals must have been learned from observing her father's character. And as the plot twists and turns, Mordecai and the Jewish nation are saved and Haman was executed. And usually when we read the story of Esther, folks, we see her strength. We see her devotion to her people. But today, God used somebody. I want you to see what God used. God used someone else in this story to accomplish his purpose. God used a faithful father, a father who impressed a young daughter to have courage in her convictions. At the right time, Esther did the right thing because she had been raised by a godly father. You see how important it is, folks? Fathers, do you see how important it is for you to live a consistent life? Study what kind of convictions you want to have in your life. Study the things that you are determined to live before your children and before your spouse. Let me tell you something. If you want your children to turn out to be great kids and to love God and serve God and to be successful in life, they better see you love their mother. Or it won't happen. I promise you that. You can try all you want to be a great father. And these people that think they can be separated and still be a help to the kids, they're out of their minds. But I'm telling you what, you want them to be successful, let them see you love their mother. Amen? A great dad is a provider for his family. He must responsibly provide for his family's physical needs. In 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You see, he manages his family so they can get the most out of life. 1 Timothy 3:4, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. Parents, don't let your kids tell you no. If they tell you no, they don't respect you. If they scream at you, they don't respect you. And whose fault is that? It's yours. If they won't listen to you when you tell them something, they don't respect you. And God's going to hold you responsible. Well, I can't get them. Yes, you can. Who's the adult? Who's the adult? And let me say this. You need to make sure they respect other adults. I'm telling you what, I would light my boys up if they would even try to be disrespectful to another adult. I would take them out and just wear out their little bottom and make them go back in and apologize. I see parents that let their kids be mouthy to other adults, and I just shake my head. God help them. Minister to your homes, fathers. Lead your homes. We must lovingly provide for his family's spiritual needs. You, Father, that is your job. Provide for your family's spiritual needs. That's not only taking them to the church. That's important. Don't get me wrong. You should have them here. My dad was a great example of that. I don't care what was going on at church. If there was something going on, we were there. You've heard me say that time and time again. But you can't just expect the church to do all your spiritual needs for your children. They need to have it at home. Come on. How much are they with the teachers at your Sunday school? Parents? How much are they with the youth leader? Okay? The youth leader is out here trying to do things and trying to have events, and sometimes you won't even take them to them. But when they have problems, oh, please pray for my Johnny, please pray for Susie, blah, 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 blah. And you're with them more than anything. But you won't even take them to events. You'll buy their phones. You'll pay their bills. You'll do this. But you won't spend the money to send them to camps. Whose fault is it if they have problems? Pastor, I'm telling you, I'm the oldest of 8 kids. And later we got a foster sister, so actually 9 kids. And my mom and dad found a way to send us to camp. They would dig, scratch, borrow, whatever, to get us to camp, to get us to youth rallies. Youth rallies. We go to youth rallies. We didn't, you know where we went out to eat afterwards? Lawson's. Jim, you heard me say this before, didn't you? Dad would go in and buy a pound of bologna, a loaf of bread, and a thing of mustard, and a big jug of that disgusting Kool-Aid. I hate that stuff. But that was our night out after youth rally. But I remember those times. I'm glad that he took me to them. He couldn't take me out to restaurants like a lot of people went out to, but he took us. And he was putting something in my life, into my brothers and my sisters. I'm telling you, he was putting things in them, folks. I have one brother that's not living for God. And he's going to church here and there with my sister's church. But I'm telling you, he knows where he needs to be because it was instilled in him. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and it is old, they will not depart from it. What you put in them, they may not, you know, they may go out. But I remember the time when I was rebelling and I was doing things I shouldn't be doing. I knew right here, I'm wrong. And if that stuff wouldn't have been put in me, I wouldn't be here today. Let me tell you, parents, you need to bend over backwards and do whatever it takes to get your kids to do whatever the youth group is doing. And this ain't in my notes. You may be tired when it's time to take them to these places. You don't think the youth leader is tired? He's giving you 2-3 hours of a break. And you can't even get them there? Shame on you. Get them to these things. Get them to these events. Well, they don't want to go. Who's the parent? Who's the parent? They don't want to go to school. Do you make them go to school? Don't let them get a job. It's going to keep them out of the youth group or out of Sunday school. They don't need a job if that's what's going to happen. That's free. Dads, you got to minister to your family. If you don't have a said, if you don't have a dad in the family, you need to be the leader, mother. We must lovingly provide for your spiritual needs of your family. You minister to your family, fathers. Minister to your families, giving yourself to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we loved you dearly, so dearly, that we gave you not only God's message, but our own lives also. Our own lives too. What you are always determines what you do. Hear me. What you are always determines what you do. What you do always wins over what you say. A father teaches his children how God acts and reacts. I'll say that again. What you are always determines what you do. What you do always wins over what you say. A father teaches his children how God acts and reacts. Let's stand today. Amen. It's important, folks. It's an important job. Anybody can father a child, but being a father is not the easiest. Amen. You have to determine every day, I'm going to be a godly father. I'm going to be a godly husband. I'm going to lead this home. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And I'm here. Folks, the reason that I do what I do, not because the Lord called me, because the Lord saw, I believe, in me a desire to help and to love people and to be a blessing. And this is what I've always thought. I'm a blessed man. If I could help somebody else to have that blessing, I want to do it. Amen. I plan on going to heaven, and I want to take everybody I can with me. All right? Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you today. God, we ask that you just bless each one here today. Thank you for our fathers. God, we ask that you touch them, that you bless them, that you help them to lead in their homes, God, to lead in their workplace, to lead in their neighborhood, God. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name.